Blog Talk Radio.
Praying that you are as well. My name is Victoria Manch-Cherry, and I am the executive producer for Victorious Radio and Communications. And once again, I'm so happy to be back and present to you a new episode of Conversations with Gail. Through Conversations with Gail, also known as CWG, we aim to improve mindsets and attitudes that are self-defeating and destructive. CWG covers a variety of subject lines, relationships, intimacy, achieving effective communication, making positive changes, urban intelligence, current events, and so much more. So, keeping it real and filled with love once again, Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I am excited to present to you playwright, inspirational speaker, and of course, my favorite title, tonight's hostess, Gail Butler.
Good evening, family. Thanks for tuning in once again to Conversations with Gail on Blog Talk Radio, Victorious Radio Communications. As my executive producer has told you, I am your host, Gail Butler. Now, this is our wind down time. Everyone's relaxing. They've gotten home. They've ate their dinner or they're preparing their dinner. And you might have your little drink of choice beside you. Could be some tea or coffee, wine, a cognac, whatever it is that is your drink of choice. Tonight I'm drinking some cran apple juice. So remember, as always, if you have a comment or a question, excuse me, please call in. Discussion line is 347-855-8877. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or have a question. This is an open forum, so I welcome your comments. If you want to remain anonymous, your privacy will be respected. If you are not comfortable with that, please comment on the chat link, www.blogtalkradio.com/Victorious Radio Communications. You can also send me any questions to my email address, convowithgail@gmail.com, or like my Facebook page, Conversations with Gail, and leave a message. I will do my best to answer all questions. If not live, I will respond on my Facebook page. So tonight, we are discussing ladies. This is for the ladies and the men too as well, but mostly we'll be discussing it with the ladies. Stop waiting on your Boaz. I always hear so many women who say this statement, and it literally makes my skin crawl. It works my last good nerve. Because half of the women who are saying this phrase are only regurgitating what they've heard some pastor, a reverend, an evangelist, a friend, their mama, grandmama, somebody then told them that they're supposed to wait for their Boaz. But have you really read about the story of Ruth? Do you understand who Ruth was? Do you understand who Boaz was? Do any of you really understand what you're saying when you make this statement? I'm willing to bet that majority of the women who claim they are waiting on their Boaz probably never even read the four chapters of Ruth. They have no clue who Ruth is. She is more than a woman waiting on a man to save the day. So let's lay the groundwork of this story. This story that everyone likes to say that that's who they're waiting on, that this is the best love story in the world. And I'm going to show you tonight that you have been duped. This is not the love story that I would not think most people in 2016 would want. Now, here we go. There was a woman named Naomi who, because of a famine, she had to leave her homeland with her husband and two sons. They go to another country, a foreign country, and they prosper. Her two sons marry. Naomi's husbands die. Then it's just her and her two sons. And her sons, they marry two women. One woman's name was Ruth. The other woman's name was Orpah. Now, after they've been living comfortably, Naomi with her sons and her daughter-in-laws, after 10 years, her sons die. So Naomi is left with no husband, no sons. And in this era, you know that when a husband died, the sons took care of their mother. The children are supposed to take care of. Now, I will tell you one thing. Ruth's story has so many messages for families and for women and our relationships with other women. Now, that is one thing you definitely, if you don't get that out of Ruth, then you really have never read it. The message, first message I'm going to show you, her husband died, so she was looking for her sons. They would be taking care of her. Her sons died. So, of course, she feels there's no one. It's just her daughter-in-laws. So Naomi decides she's going to go back to her homeland, and her two daughter-in-laws plan to go with her. Naomi tells them to go to their parents so that they can be married again because they were still young. She was too old. She couldn't bear any more children. So it was no need for them to follow her. Orpah, she cried, kissed Naomi goodbye, and she went back to her family. Ruth clung to Naomi, and she refused to leave. She basically told her, where you go, I go. What you do, I do. Who you worship, I worship. She had total faith and trust in her mother-in-law. Okay. Let me tell you, this story has so many life lessons for women. You see, first of all, how close Ruth was with her mother-in-law, that she loved and respected and admired her and wouldn't go home to her own family, that she was that close, that she stuck and clung to her, to the point that she was willing to stay. How many of you can seriously say that you have a good relationship with your mother-in-law? And not even mother-in-law, how many of you have a good relationship with someone that is an elder, a woman that is an elder that's older than you? How many of us have that good relationship where you can sit back and you can listen and you can learn? Or are you more of the, let me teach this old person because I know more than them when you don't? That's another lesson as women. We can learn a lot from the elder women. But a lot of us don't want to learn because we think we know, failing to realize that a lot of them been there, done that, seen it before. So the two women went on a journey back to Naomi's homeland. When they arrive, of course, everyone is happy to see her, but Naomi is sad and depressed and feeling that God couldn't love her or wasn't blessing her because she had lost, and to her, she lost everything, her husband and her two sons. Can you imagine how depressing that trip was? You have one, an older woman mourning the death of her husband and her two sons. You also have Ruth mourning the death of her husband. Can you imagine that trip? That had to be one long, sad trip. So you can imagine if it's just them two, by the time they got to Naomi's homeland, they were down. She was down and depressed because that's all they could talk about is what they were wallowing in. So, okay, Naomi was upset that God had this. She felt depressed and disappointed that God could not love her to have allowed her to go through such great loss. Now, Naomi had a cousin-in-law that was very well respected. Now, you heard what I said. She had a cousin-in-law. This person was her husband's close cousin. So a close cousin is first or second cousin, which means that was, if it was her husband's first cousin, it was her son's second cousin, which was Ruth's what? Husband. So that was Ruth's husband's second cousin, Boaz. All right, ladies, so all of y'all, you already just said you waiting on your second cousin. Okay, think about that. Think about your second cousins that y'all praying to God, oh, I want my Boaz. So you praying for your second cousin to come marry you. Now you see why you need to stop saying it? Okay, now we going to finish on. Now, Naomi had a cousin-in-law that was very well respected in the community. He was wealthy, and guess what else he was? He was old. He was very well up in age because, think about this, if Naomi knew him and Naomi was well up in age and she knew that he was well respected in the community, he surely couldn't have been Ruth's age. So, all of you that are now still saying, I'm waiting on my Boaz, you're waiting on your old second cousin. Don't sound too promising. All right, so Ruth tells Naomi that she is going to go out in the field, pick up the leftover grain from anyone whose eyes will have favor. Now, the field that Ruth decides to work in is Boaz. She had no idea that was his field. So when Boaz sees Ruth out there and sees this poor foreign woman, he takes a liking to her. Basically, he sees her picking up the scraps. He tells Ruth that she can stay in his field, follow along with other women, and whenever she's thirsty, she can go get water. He showed favor. He liked her. He also ensured that the men would not harm her. So Ruth, being the inquisitive, nosy woman like we all are, she asked Boaz why he was so willing to help her. And he tells her that he heard about how she had helped her mother-in-law, Naomi, and how she stuck with her, and he was very impressed. So when dinner time comes, Miss Ruth, she sits up there, hangs with the fellas with Boaz, and they sitting back eating, and he lets her eat all she can. Think about, this is a time when the women waited. They didn't sit with the men to eat. They had to sit away from the men. Not Miss Ruth. Miss Ruth sat up there with Boaz and his boys, and they ate, and she ate all she could and saved the scraps for Naomi. Plus, she had heard what she had did when she was harvesting. So he then tells her that she can work with the men, and then he told his men, just throw extra sheaves to her. And her harvest was plentiful. So when she goes to home the next day, she tells Naomi she has all this stuff and she has the food and she had made this money, and Naomi is like, how did you do this? Where'd you get it from? And when Ruth told her it was Boaz, Naomi had the aha moment. I know him. We're going to get you so you can get to him. And what does Ruth Naomi do? Naomi tells Ruth what she needs to do to get Boaz. And Ruth listened. She told her to go to his room, and they call it the threshing floor. Go to his room and lay at his feet. She had to get dressed up and perfumed up and prettied up. And people, please, I know y'all ain't ready for this. What I'm about to tell you, Naomi told her how to sexually please Boaz because she was not there praying at his feet because they believed in God. She was pleasuring him. She was pleasuring him. So I know all of y'all have just been heartbroken because, one, y'all been praying for an old second cousin that you're going to have to pleasure him at his feet. And if you want me to get technical on what pleasuring, that is oral sex. If you do not believe me, I'm going to tell you right now, open your Bible and please read those four chapters of Ruth, and your eyes will be opened up because that's what she's talking about. This is what Naomi told her, that she had to get his favor. She had to lay at his feet. And when she was done and he was all surprised and, oh, what are you doing here, Ruth? He told her to cover herself up so no one will think bad of her when she left in the morning. If she was just laying at his feet, just sleeping, why was there a concern that no one should see her and to cover herself that no one would see her? Okay? So, despite what you may think, the story of Ruth and Boaz is not a romance, this big love story that you want to say, oh, this is what I want. We have all seen this horrible meme that I have seen, I swear I think it's been out there ever since I've been on Facebook, that a lot of women love to post, and it says, to all the girls who are in a hurry to have a boyfriend or get married, a piece of biblical advice. Ruth patiently waited for her mate Boaz. While you are waiting on your Boaz, don't settle for any of his relatives. Broke ass, dumb ass, lying ass, cheating ass, locked up ass, good for nothing ass, lazy ass, especially his third cousin beating your ass. Wait on your Boaz and make sure he respects your ass. First of all, this is completely wrong. Second of all, it's completely ignorant. But so many of us are so quick. I know a lot of women, they got so caught up in the broke this, dumb, lying, blah, 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 that you was quick to throw it up on Facebook like you was proving a point and you telling all the men that they messed you up that you going to get you a Boaz. So you done told all the men that they messed you up that you getting your second cousin that's old and you going to have to perform oral sex on him so that you can keep him. That's what you're telling them. So who looks like the fool, you or the man that hurt you? You do. Something to think about. So this meme, and I've seen my family members posting this foolishness. Waiting on your Boaz. Oh, it finishes with this. Wait on your Boaz and make sure he respects your ass. First of all, now one thing that I continue to promote in conversations with Gail is that men and women need to have better conversations with each other. I know it was a whole lot of y'all, like I said, they was co-signing that. They hit them likes and put their little 2 cents. Yeah, girl, because blah, 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 because I'm not taking it no more. Yes, you are. First, like I said, read the story of Ruth for yourself. It's just 4 chapters. It's not long. It's 4 chapters. Ruth never once waited on a man. Let me repeat that. Ruth never waited on a man. So why again are you saying you're waiting on your Boaz? She didn't wait. She was proactive. I've read Ruth dozens of times. So many times that I feel like I kind of know Ruth, much like I know myself. Ruth has become a constant reminder of who I am and how I want to be as a person. And you're probably saying, what do you mean by that? A lot of people take Ruth to heart, be a heart boy meets girl love story. Ruth waits for Boaz. Boaz redeems Ruth. Boaz and Ruth get to be together. Again, no, 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 and no. So many of us have been telling young girls, especially in churches, to wait on their Boaz, and you have all these little young girls thinking and believing this craziness that they're waiting for some old second cousin. And I know then some people are going to say, well, that's not literal. Ruth never waited, so why should she be waiting on a Boaz? What did Ruth do? When she got in that town, she just did what she had to do to take care of her and Naomi. She didn't sit back and moan and groan, oh, I need a man, I need a man, I want a man, I need a man. She did what she had to do. And Boaz took a saw her and liked her. So, ladies, if you sitting in the house, Boaz ain't going to find you. Just something if you have to have your old second cousin. I'm just saying. Do you realize that you're telling these young girls, giving them wrong information, and when they sit back and they're like, well, I was praying and I was waiting for this and that, and it didn't happen, because that's not what you're praying for is not, that's the result you got. That's why you don't have nobody, because you're praying for the wrong thing. Okay, so if you have a comment or a question, you can call in. Discussion line is 347-855-8877. Press the
actually,
one.
We have a couple of comments.
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
Okay.
Donald says, thanks, Sister Goddess, first for telling others to read and seek knowledge, and second, to the Bible. Thanks for real talk and keeping it 100. Charlene said, wow, wow, who knew? Reading the Book of Ruth.
Oh, wow, great, great. I'm glad. That's good to hear. Okay, so like I said, this is an open forum, so welcome your comments. I welcome your comments. If you want to remain anonymous, your privacy will be respected. If you're not comfortable with that, please comment on the chat link, www.blogtalkradio.com/Victorious Radio Communications. You can also send me any questions to my email address, convowithgail@gmail.com, or like my Facebook page, Conversations with Gail, and leave a message. I will do my best to answer all questions. If not live, I will respond on my Facebook page. So, we're back on Waiting on Boaz. By now, I know, I hope that some of you are realizing that, one, you do need to read the story of Ruth. And I'm going to also say this. When you hear a pastor, or no, I'm not even going to say a pastor, any person, when they tell you a story of in the Bible, even with me, go back and read it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. It ain't, like I said, it's just four chapters. It'll take you 20 minutes to read the story of Ruth. And a little longer if you keep going over, and you're going to be like, wow, Ruth never waited. Okay? So, if Ruth waited patiently for Boaz, as many people have stated, then why did she go harvest? Like I said, she went and she worked on her, she did it for herself. She made the decision. Naomi didn't tell her in the beginning to go out there. She went out there on her own. She knew that she had to take care of her and her mother-in-law. And then Ruth was, I'm going to say Ruth was a badass. She defied what was in their culture back then, because women did not eat with the men. She sat up there with Boaz and his men and was eating a meal. That right there tells you Ruth was not just some mamby-pamby just waiting for her savior. She did what she had to do, and she was willing to take that chance. And then she went to the threshing floor, and y'all can say all y'all want, that threshing floor where she was laying at his feet, she was enticing him. Naomi told her what she needed to do to please him. And it is what it is. Boaz, clearly, he was interested in Ruth because he was willing to, he told his men, look out for her. Give her, make sure to throw out a little extra. He was trying, and he had his intentions were, we don't really know what his intentions are, but he did take a liking to her. And most of their interactions, Ruth is the initiator, not Boaz. Ruth does the harvesting. She goes and tells Naomi. Naomi helps her concoct scheme to go lay at his feet. So ladies, that's why a lot of times when we have all these issues with men, some of us may do need to go and talk to our elder women instead of talking to your girlfriend that don't know just as much as you know. Both of y'all don't know nothing. But we don't want to hear what an older woman's going to say because we feel like, oh, well, that was back then. But Naomi told her how to get Boaz. Now, if Ruth had done it on her, did it, she probably wouldn't have never said, well, let me go lay at his feet. Naomi told her how to get it quick, fast, in a hurry. So a lot of times when we as the younger women, we do need to listen to our elders. We need to listen to the elder women because they have wealth of information that could help us better our relationships. But a lot of us don't want to do it because we figure, oh, they don't know. But believe me, those old ladies would love to tell us their stories. We should find them and talk to them. I love talking to my mom and my aunt. I mean, we don't go into depth, but I love to hear their stories of past relationships because it allows you to see they've gone through the same things that we have all gone through. And you see, they made it. So if they can make it, we know we can make it. Ruth's ultimate goal in marrying Boaz was not love. It was stability. It's security for herself and for Naomi. Guess what, people? Ruth settled for Boaz. I know some of my Christian friends and fell out the chair, falling all over the place. Yes, Ruth settled. Never once in the story of Ruth do you hear anything saying that they were in love, that they loved each other. Nothing like that. Naomi wanted Ruth to get Boaz because he could provide, take care of them. He was wealthy, and she knew that he would. That was stability. She knew it was just those two women, and they could not take care of themselves, and she had to settle. Now you see why Ruth was a badass and said, let me sit up here with these men, because guess what? Somebody was going to have to take care of them. She wasn't going to sit there and be like, woe is me, and have a pity party. A lot of women are using this statement to hide behind opening their heart to find love. We are so scared of being vulnerable that we will just say that, oh, well, I'll just wait for my Boaz. Like, that sound cute. It don't sound cute, ladies. It just shows that you're scared. Life can be tough, and most of us, if not all, have felt its wrath. Pain and disappointment can cause even the strongest of people to go hide in their corner where it's safe. Well, that is exactly what some of you have done, and it has created more bad than good. You have built up walls to protect yourself, but it's those same walls that are blocking your blessings. Those walls restrict love from fully flowing in and out of you. But true love makes us vulnerable, and that simply scares you to death. And a lot of you are scared to open up your heart. And I'm speaking from experience. I'm talking about myself as well. We have to put the walls down. Hiding behind that statement that you're waiting on your Boaz is just making you stay and prolonging the loneliness. It's prolonging the not opening your eyes to meet a special someone. What do you think how that sounds to a man that may have interest if the first thing come out your mouth is, oh, I'm just been waiting on my Boaz? What? He gonna look at you like, well, if I don't have no money, I'm not rich. I'm not old, and I ain't her cousin. See ya. So a lot of times we may have counted somebody out that could have been for us because we so caught up in making that blanket cliche statement, really because we don't want to get our feelings hurt, and we just don't want to say, look, I don't want to be vulnerable to fall in love and get hurt again. Okay? A lot of us are so afraid of having to really do a self-reflection that we stay hidden behind that awful statement. If everyone or everything else is the problem, then how will you ever see the need to improve? You have embraced the idea that you are all that you need to be, but the reality may be that you have yet to truly scratch the surface. You are still a great woman, and you deserve a great love. Yet, that doesn't mean you don't have areas in your life that need correction. We all have room for improvement, and sometimes it will take making significant progress before you can receive what is truly best for you. Ruth was not what so many people portray her to be. Ruth was a hardworking and forward, yet humble and charming woman. Ruth's husband had died while she was still childless, but she wasn't going to lay down and wait for another man to come and save the day. She took the initiative to care for herself and her widowed mother-in-law. How many of us honestly can say that you would have stayed and took care of your mother-in-law after your husband had passed? A lot of us, well, I've never been married, but I have dated, and I know some of the guys I've dated, their mamas, I know I wouldn't. See ya, I'm going back to my mama. No way. So I know that that in itself shows you that Ruth was truly a strong, headstrong, and she was very caring and loving woman. That's what I want to be. Are we really, we're worried more so about getting the man when we need to be looking at Ruth and who she was, what she symbolizes. We should all be as humble and willing to make sacrifices and willing to love, really have loving relationships with our elderly women. I think that right there shows a bond between two women and two total different age groups that loved each other. An older woman that was willing to show her the tricks to the trade of getting a man, and a young woman that was willing to shut her lips up and listen. Because you know a lot of us ladies, we think we know everything, and we don't want to listen. But Ruth was willing to listen. If you want to take anything from this story, one thing you need to take is that Ruth did not sit back and have a pity party. She didn't call all her girlfriends or go and walk around to Naomi, oh, we ain't going to make it. Oh, nobody, we're not going to be able to do this. Oh, yeah, I'm never going to get married again. I don't have any children. You never hear her whining or complaining. She did what she had to do. Now, Naomi was down and out, but Ruth was there to help her and give her that motivation. You see how they balanced each other out? Ruth helped Naomi, and Naomi in turn helped Ruth. Can we do that as women with each other? Can we help each other out without trying to tear each other apart? Here are some things we need to learn from Ruth about dating. Now, these are tips we can learn about Ruth from dating, but it ain't about waiting on Boaz. These are tips you can learn about dating. Now, she is a true example of learning how to date. Number one, don't be afraid to initiate. I need to really be following this myself. If you have your eyes on somebody, suggest something casual to do together. Invite him to come out with you and your friends. Don't just wait for him to pick up on your hints. Initiating can be scary, but it also circumvents a lot of confusing games. If you reach out, you'll put the ball in his court. Then it will be up to him what to do next. Ladies, stop sitting back waiting for somebody to take you to McCormick and Schmidt. Stop sitting back for somebody to take you to Ruth Chris. Why not say, hey, meet me at the bar. Let's go have a drink. That's a quick way. Nothing. You don't have to worry about who paid for what. You can buy the man a $10 drink. 9 out of 10, if he's really good, he going to end up paying for it anyway. Just fake like you going to pay for it and hope and pray he got money in his pocket. If he don't, then just pay for it yourself. Sorry. But it's nothing wrong with saying, let's meet for a drink. Let's meet for coffee. Initiate it. If he sells you, no, that's okay. You got your answer. He might not be that interested in you. And that way, you don't have to worry about seeing if he's interested. He's shown you. If he is all gung-ho, okay, yeah, let's meet. then you have your answer. Put it in his court. Let him have the ball. Let him show you what he about. But don't wait. You see, Ruth didn't wait. Next, another idea we should learn from Ruth about dating is be clear with your desires. Communication, communication, and communication. Communication in words, not actions. What you want is vital. If he is singling you out, engaging you in witty texts, and y'all are talking or prolonging an unspoken possibility, it is time for you to speak up. At some point, you both need to clarify and communicate your expectations. And if he's not talking, you might need to be the first to bring it up. Does that mean you are a dominant woman? No. Does that mean you'll turn him into a passive man? No. It means you are a strong woman and you have good communication skills. It is nothing wrong with asking for clarity. And that's what a lot of us get confused. Ladies, your girlfriends cannot give you clarity on what that man is thinking because she don't know unless she's talking to him herself. And a lot of us will try to get clarity because we calling and texting our girlfriends, asking them, telling them what he said, and they try to figure him out. How the heck would they know? When it could all be avoided if you would just ask him. Get clarity. And if he can't put it into words what he wants or what his desires or what his expectations are, then you have your answer. You need to go. You need to go somewhere else until he is mature enough and adult enough to say what his expectations are. Because it's not hard. It's not hard to say, oh, I'm looking for this, I'm looking for that. You just ain't the one. A lot of us don't want to ask for clarification because we're afraid to hear them say, you just ain't the one. Okay. Hanging around Boaz's field wasn't getting the job done, and lingering by his side on a group evening doesn't count as telling him you're interested. Let's stop the subtle communication and use our words, ladies, and gentlemen too. Stop with the little hints. Just come right out and say it. Blurt it out. If you want to know and you need clarification, say it. Don't wait 6 months in and then you're asking, well, we've been seeing each other for such and such time. What are we? And he's going to be like, oh, well, we're nothing but friends. I'm not looking for nothing. Then you mad. When you should have been asking this from day one. And this, you don't like to ask, but you have to say, you know, what do you want? Number one, lady, stop trying to make men that say that they have no desire to be in a relationship, like waiting around months and months will make them want to be in a relationship. It's not going to happen. I'm going to give you a classic example. This is one thing, and I hope the person, if they're listening, I don't care. They'll probably never speak to me again. But, yeah, I'm putting them on blast. I met this guy about 2 years, and in the beginning, he had said he wanted to be in a relationship. And at the time, I was like, okay, well, let's, you know, be friends. We'll see how it goes. Nothing ever came of it. So recently, we were talking, and he said it again, oh, he wanted to see about building a relationship or something, and he's in the church and this and this and that. Gave me a whole spill. Okay, went out a couple of times. So I noticed there was a pattern of he was one of those I'll call when I want to be bothered callers, men. So I asked him, I had to ask him, you know, what is going on? And the first thing he said, oh, well, I'm not ready to be in a relationship. Oh, no, I thought I told you. Now, initially, I was a little upset, but then I thought about it. I was like, oh, okay, well, that's fine. If that's not what you want, then that's fine. My issue is don't play games, men. If you're not interested in a relationship, do not think you're going to get the benefits of being in a relationship. It doesn't work for me. So now he finds himself a lot of times calling, why can't we go out? Because we do not want the same things. And that's what I told him. What you want, I don't want. I don't need a whole slew of friends. I have friends. I have good friends. So why am I going to hang out with somebody that has no intentions of doing anything more? But you think you're going to be slick, because that's what it is. That's the slick way of thinking you're going to lay up. Doesn't work like that. And a lot of us ladies, we will play that game until we get our feelings all caught up in this mess. Then we all hurt because the man going to throw in your face, well, I didn't want to be. I told you, I'm not looking for anything. When the minute he says that, if that is not, if you are looking to be in a relationship, then you need to leave him alone. And I left him alone. And, yes, he still calls every now and then. Why can't we go out, or why you won't, you know, why won't you at least go out with me, blah, 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 because we do not want the same things. I am not going to waste my time with anyone that is not, we are not on the same page. Foolishness. And a lot of us are doing that. So we have to continue to get clarity. I'm speaking about my own experience. I had to say no. And really, I'm glad that I did, because better has come along. We have wasted so much of our time with people that have showed us that, oh, I'm not interested, but we still trying to get them. We still trying. We trying to prove a point. And the person that is just right for us could be slipping away. And I have met better people since I was like, not interested. We not on the same page. Get with the people that are on the same page. Stop, ladies, trying to make these men be your boyfriend, trying to make them be your man. If he has already told you, believe it and move on, because I promise you, it's something better out there. I promise you that. Okay? All right. Now, this one is going to be a doozy. And I'm telling you, I really going to have to practice these tips. Ask for clarity of his intentions. So many of us are talking to men that have not said what their intentions are, what I've just told you my story, while we sit back guessing and assuming and asking our girlfriends, what does this man think? Now, it's nothing wrong, because everyone should have a friend that they can talk to and get their thoughts out. But no way, I can promise you, ladies, no woman knows what a man is thinking unless they are personally talking to the man and the man is telling them what is coming out of his, what is he's thinking. So there's no need of trying to get all your girlfriends to guess, because they don't know. Asking him what he wants will protect you from unnecessary wondering and heartache, like I told you. Boaz's kindness to Ruth was initially very vague. We don't know if it was motivated by romantic interest or he simply felt a family obligation to care for, because that was his cousin's wife. So was he doing this because he knew that they didn't have anybody to take care of them? And then I guess after she performed that nice little job on that night, he had no other choice. So she actively put him in a position that required him to clarify, and we must do the same. If a man is singling you out and giving you special treatment and hasn't been explicit about his feelings or intentions, you have to ask him. Remember that your relationship status, ladies and gentlemen, it does not define who you are. By putting that, saying you have a husband or a wife, does not define you. You have your own identity, or you should have your own identity. Having the relationship status is just icing on the cake. Be the best woman that you can be. Shine bright like the diamond you are. And the man that is just for you, the man or woman that is just for you, will come into your life. But please stop saying you are waiting. You must be out there living life to the fullest, because no man is going to come knocking on your door saying, here I am, I am your Boaz is not happening. Remember, when you are discussing the man you want and you're picking a man from the Bible, why wouldn't you look at David? David was a warrior. David was a fighter. And everyone loves to say that. David was a man after God's own heart. David was honest. He was true. David was a humdinger now because he did love the ladies. He had his share of mess. But he knew how to open his heart up and sing and praise to God and put it out there. He didn't have a problem confessing his wrongs. Who doesn't want a David? Who doesn't want a warrior, a man that's going to get out there and do what he got to do? And still knows how to get on his knees and pray and give glory and honor to God. Who don't want a David? But y'all sitting there praying for your second cousin. And then I know some of you right now are thinking about some of your second cousins and probably getting sick to your stomach. Just a thought. Or what about Joseph? David was wealthy. Joseph was a king. I mean, he went through serious trials. His brothers traded him. But he had a good heart. He still looked out for his family, even after they basically sold him away because of jealousy. But nobody says they want a Joseph. They want a David. Y'all screaming, y'all want Boaz. There are so many, you can say, many men, different men in the Bible that you could say that you want instead of a family relative with money. Many ladies will approach relationships from the perspective of low risk, high reward. And what I'm saying by that is they want to get the absolute best man with the least amount of risk. So that's why you figure you can holler, I'm waiting on my Boaz, because you don't have to put forth much effort. He's going to come, this knight in shining armor, and he's going to have everything you want. He's going to be as rich as Mark Zuckerberg. Isn't it Zuckerberg who started Facebook? And I'm not just talking about their finances. You don't want to put yourself out there at all. You want the man to take all the risk, to be utterly convinced he wants to be with you before they open up, before you open up to who you really are. You act like you are the only prize in the equation. He doesn't know anything about your background, but you turn into a private investigator to make sure he is good enough for you. You know some of y'all that go through his Facebook page, go through every friend on his friend list, watch it. What did he say to this girl? How did he respond? You had your girlfriends looking at the other women's pictures, looking to see who the child's mother is. And I know all of you women, so a lot of you women do that. That is, to me, is the dumbest thing in the world. Why, if a man shows you interest and y'all have become Facebook friends, why are you going through his whole page? You got to see his friends. You looking at the women that he make comments at. You looking at all of this. You sizing it up. Oh, does she look better than me? Do I look better than her? Come on. Grow up. You do all of this, but when he comes to ask you questions about yourself, you put the walls up. Oh, no, he can't. I'm not going to answer that. Why is he asking me these questions? But you think that the man is supposed to come and just lay all his business out at your feet and you give up of nothing. You want low risk but high reward, ladies. You are financially irresponsible and an impulsive spender. You're spending insane percentages of your income on your hair, shoes, bags, and your package. But you want a man who knows how to make and keep money. But you don't know how to spend and save money. Come on, ladies. You have not grown your faith or prayer life to where it needs to be, but you want a demon-chasing, tongue-speaking, Bible-spitting warrior of a husband who going to be my protector and my provider. You know how y'all wring that neck and tell it. He's got to be the leader of a home. He got to be my king, and I'm going to be his queen. And you don't even have queen potential. I posted that. And a lot of people, they gave good responses. What do you consider to be a queen? Because a lot of us like to spill, I need my king, I need my Boaz. What are you going to do to get, where are you meeting this man at that you're supposed to have, this king, do you have queen qualities? Do you have the qualities to have this person that's supposed to be so great and have all his ducks in a row? Are all your ducks in a row? He has to be the leader of the home. You have dated a bunch of losers that didn't work out, but he is no good because he's had several failed relationships as well. You want to see him as he is, but you cover yourself up in perfectly filtered Instagram pictures, hair extensions, push-up bras, makeup, and layers of stuff that it makes it impossible to see who you really are. You are lazy with that much follow-through, but you want a man who can stay up all night working on a project. If he put that spotlight on you, would you make the cut? Think about that, ladies. Will you make the cut? Can you beat it? What your expectations are of this king that you want, this Boaz that you want? We have to know our worth and not settle for less. Just like the men have to know their worth and not settle for less. If a man is a king and has king qualities, he should not settle for less. So let's stop making Ruth and Boaz this big Hollywood romance. Let's stop using Ruth's story as an excuse to make or push a guy away. While it is great to pray for your future spouse, you don't need to pray for your Boaz to appear. Your Boaz has already come. That's God. He gives you everything you will need and more. What you need to ask God is to give you clarity on how to be a better person, a better woman, and to open your eyes, because a lot of times our kings that we say that we want and our these great men that we're looking for are standing right in our faces, and we are looking for this certain particular package. If I had a penny every time I heard someone say they were waiting on their Boaz, I would have the net worth of Bill Gates. Boaz is not going to be knocking on your door. But let me tell you who will knock on your door, his brothers. Broke ass, dumb ass, ratchet ass, lazy ass, cheating ass, and use you up and leave your ass. Remember that? They will come knocking on your door. You'll remember Ruth went out into the field. She worked hard. She anointed herself. So Ruth was a hardworking, taking the initiative, prayed up, anointed woman. She was not sitting back having pity parties, woe is me. Only after she did all of those things and took the initiative did Boaz see her. In other words, ladies, become more proactive. Work hard. Get yourself right before you go out there screaming about you got to have your king, you got to have this, you got to have that. Make sure your ducks are in row. The story of Ruth and Boaz is applicable to success in general for every ethnicity, sex, age, nationality, and religion. Focus on becoming the best version of you. Work incredibly hard and get out and do something to make your goals happen. Know what you seek is seeking you, but you must be opposed to hoping it will just happen for you. Hope is not a strategy. Stop waiting on your dreams to be delivered and instead go out and create them. As we're coming to a close of tonight's show, I hope you guys enjoyed Stop Waiting on Your Boaz. Next week, we will be back, same time, same station, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on the same station, blogtalkradio.com, Victorious Radio Communications. And we will be discussing Are You a King? Good night.